Good evening. It's time to go ahead and have a seat and we'll begin worship. We'll start with number 166. Number 166. I'm glad you're all here this evening. If you would, please remember to silence your cell phone. He's my king. We'll sing all three verses. The voice is rough, so we're going down half a step. Number 647. Let's go ahead and stand since we're supposed to arise. Soldiers of Christ, arise. We'll sing the first, the second, and fifth verse. And please stand for the prayer afterwards. We'll have our opening prayer at that time. A little too much there.
Soldiers of Christ, arise.
Pray with me. O God, our Father, we come before you this evening with hearts full of gratitude and praise. We thank you for the gift of this new week, for the opportunity tonight to gather together as your family, and for the blessings you so freely bestow upon us. We're mindful of your love, a love that surpasses all understanding, a love that sent your Son Jesus to be our Savior. We thank you for his sacrifice, his perfect life, and for his resurrection that gives us hope eternal. As we open our study of your word tonight, we pray that you open our hearts and our minds to receive it. May it guide us, challenge us and transform us to be more like Christ. Help us to live out our faith, to love one another as you have loved us, and to share the good news of your grace with a world that so desperately needs it. We lift up to you those that are sick, those that are grieving, and those that are struggling in any way. We ask for your comfort and healing hand to be upon them. We also pray for our church family that we may be a source of strength and support to one another. Father, we know that all good things come from you. We offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please be seated. If you are using a hymn book, if you want to mark number 943, number 943, our song of encouragement following the lesson this evening. Once you have your marker there, we'll sing number 749. Number 749. The battle belongs to the Lord. We'll sing all three verses. I broke it a while ago.
In the heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. The weapons are fashioned against us must stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. The power of darkness comes in like the flood. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up the standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. The enemy presses in heart, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, the redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the
Lord. There is story time tonight. There is story time. I'm reading from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 13, if you'd like to read with me. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
We have a guest speaker tonight. I wanted to briefly introduce him, not take up too much of his time, but Evan Krug is with us. Evan is a member at the Stony Creek Church of Christ over in Elizabethan. I've known Evan for a good portion of his life and have been impressed with him for a long, long time. I've known his dad for a long time. I'd say that his dad and I grew up together, but Zach is so much older than me. And also, there's, I can't speak in front of Zach without mentioning how much older he is than me. So you probably know Zach. He spoke for us many times at Men's Day and other functions. But Evan is Zach's oldest son and has really been impressive to me over the years at High Rock Bible Camp. He is a real leader in our area. A lot of our young people who go to High Rock Bible Camp will know who Evan is right off the bat. He has been such a leader at that camp with young people. He has a heart for young people and really appreciate the things that he's been able to do and have been honored to be able to watch him grow into the man he is. He's brought a small army with him tonight, including his father, of course, and his grandmother, and of course his wife and her parents, her mother, and as well as her grandparents. And then if you only meet one person out of this crew, make sure that you meet their beautiful little girl that they're very proud of. He also brought his buddy Josh, who's a student at the preaching school. So they got he's got quite an army there behind him. But we're so glad that Evan's here, and I will let him speak to you.
Good evening, everybody. The last time I stood up here was 4 years ago, November. In November, I was getting married to Maggie, and last time I was nervous in this building was in that room, and so I'm nervous again, but it's a good nervous. It's the duty of being able to share the gospel and be able to open it up and to dive into it with each other. Tonight, I appreciate Josh and the songs being led. I appreciate the prayer, and you know, the battle belongs to the Lord, and that's exactly what we're called to do. We're here to battle, and you know, for me, Tim and I had talked, and he had kind of explained to me about the congregation having the goal, the eldership here having the goal of retaining young people, not so much to the building or the church, but the Lord's church. How do we keep them in? I'm 24 years old. My wife's 24 years old. Most everybody we knew and grew up with that claimed to have faith has fallen away. And, you know, for as a 24-year-old guy that's trying to raise a family, trying to raise a daughter to give her back to the Lord, it's just dawned on me. I've thought about it. I've studied through it. I've wondered. I've looked at, you know, my friends. I had a group of fellas stand right here beside me while I was getting married. And I talked to two of them now. The rest of them won't have anything to do with me. Most of them stepped away. They know that when they talk to me, what I'm going to talk about, what I want to know, where, why, what went wrong, what didn't. And I believe, one of my firm beliefs is that our generation, we were told, let me specify before I say that, there was no bad intentions for sure. But the interpretation, I think, went over many of our heads. And luckily for me, I was blessed with a family, with a girlfriend who's now my wife, that proved it's a fight. But we were told that we were the future of the church. Well, what, you know, that was over here. You know, the future of the church is here. And I get it. And maybe a better way that it should have been told to us was that we're the future leaders of the church. We're part of the church now. You know, I see young kids, young teenagers. If you're baptized into Christ, you answer for yourself right now. If Jesus comes back, you are responsible for you. Sure, your father will give an account, but you got to stand between you and God, and that's on you right now. You know, it's easy to come to, and I'm not knocking the way that we do things, but you come to a building like this, you come to the pews, it's very easy to forget. It's a fight. It's more than just waking up every morning and saying, you know what, I'm a Christian today. It's moment to moment. It's a fight. It's a fight between me and Satan for me to stay within God's will, to do his will, to bring more people to him. And when it's put off in such a way, it's like, But that doesn't just fall for my generation. That doesn't fall for the generations coming behind me. That goes everywhere. It's a fight for all of us. We all have to give an account. So where it's nothing extravagant. It's Ephesians chapter 6. I had 13 through verse 17 read. I'll pull in some cross references, but We're going to start with the nature of spiritual warfare. And in Ephesians 6, if you'd like to follow along, I'm going to start in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly place. I don't know about y'all, but I have not, with my own two eyes, ever seen anything like that, right? This is something that we don't see, that we can't set our eyes on, that's not necessarily tangible for us to say, you know what, I can take this and I can... We've got all kinds of things. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's kind of like a meme. It's gone across social media, but I knocked it off as cheesy. But then I thought about it putting this together. It's this picture of a lion, and it says what somebody's going through, what you know. How true is that for spiritual warfare? I can look across. You guys can look up here at me and be like, well, you know, look, he's got a coat on, you know, trimmed up his beard, looks all right. And I could be falling apart. I have battles that y'all don't know about. Some of you will never know about. Likewise to you. But Paul in Ephesians 6 gives us, it's simple. It's so simple. But he gives us the practicality, the tools to win that war. We know Jesus is won. If you're in Christ and you've accepted his blood as the propitiation for your sins, you're in the fight. It's not an option. We have to fight. The option is, you're either with God or against God. So let's look at what he breaks down for us. Satan in 2025, what comes to mind is the biggest problem facing me, facing the body of Christ, is distraction. Got the whole world right here. I'm not the first to say it, and I won't be the last to say it. Satan puts us to sleep right there. He's very good at snowing us and getting us lax and looking around, and we get together and we get around like-minded Christians and it's comfortable, right? I'm not knocking fellowship. We need it. I need it. But our mission is to take the peace to the world, to show God through us. And so how do we do that? That's what Paul lays out for us. In 2 Corinthians 10, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So, I'm a pretty simple guy, not the smartest in the room, but if we're not fighting a physical war, wouldn't you want to know just exactly what we need to fight the war that we can't see? You know, like we live in the United States of America. You gonna put war on, we're your guy, right? United States of America, top military in the world. When it comes to the spiritual battleground, we've got a wasteland in our country right now. And it's because these very things have missed us. It's because the effectiveness and the depth of our spiritual being, our souls, has just gone to the wayside. And so it sounds complex. You hear war and you're like, okay, well, who are we fighting? Like, I thought we're supposed to be about peace and love and joy, which we are. We're fighting for that peace. We're fighting for God. You know, for me, I remember sitting as a teenager, you know, not that long ago, just a few years ago, sitting there and hearing stuff like this and you know, okay, well, there's got to be more to it, right? You know, we've been cursed since the garden. We have to know more. We have to know. It can't be that simple, right? There's times that I've got to work. I've just got to try. I've got to work. I've got to know God. I've got to read and pray. You know, a lot of people here, you know, read and prayer, study and prayer. And it's like, okay, yeah, but, you know, what about, and I'm not knocking reading plans or studying plans, but we want more. We want it to be dressed up. And it's as simple as that. Like I said, I'm a simple guy. I grew up playing basketball, and my junior year of high school, I tore my labrum in my hip, had to have surgery on it. That was like a 9-month recovery. And, you know, for my generation, Kobe Bryant was Michael Jordan. I'm not saying he is Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's a GOAT. If you have something to say, we can talk after. But Kobe was the man. I'm sitting there, I remember him tearing Achilles and having all these injuries later in his career. And I I wanted to quit basketball. It's, yeah, like I said, it's just basketball. But I saw his quote, and it rings true to me today, and I can take that from Kobe Bryant was not, by what I could tell, I would not hold him up as somebody to look for spiritual strength and who to go to. Not prescribing that. But he had a quote, and it stuck with me. It's, don't be bored with the basics. You know, this is the guy, they tell stories to this day about, you know, they'd come in 5-6 hours before game time. This guy's working. He's doing defensive slides. You're in the NBA, man. If you don't know how to play defense, the basics. Shooting, form shooting in front of the rim. Shooting game speed. Getting mad at his trainers for not treating it like the game. We're talking about a basketball game. But don't be bored with the basics. Can we take that and put that to application spiritually? Can I not get bored with reading, with knowing God, with being fully delved into his word? How about praying? How about talking to him? I have a whole life, hopefully, in front of me where I have to fight, where I have to show my family, my daughter, that no, we can't get, this is the greatest avenue that's been given to us other than Jesus' blood. It's keys, it's tools, it's how we strap up for war, how we stay within God. So our faith and dedication to his word and prayer are exactly how we gear up for this fight and stay geared up for this fight. Let's get into it. So back to Ephesians 6, then 13 through 17, the passage that was read, the armor of God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand him, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. The emphasis on all. What's left out in all? Nothing. Nothing at all. All. It's all. We have the answer. We have the battle won. We can know. And so that should be that much more of an empowerment. I don't know, when you read that, that does something to me. That'll get me going. I can do this. I'm tired? No, I know. I know what the end result is. I know I've already won because I'm with the one who has won. So let's break down. You've probably seen it. It's great material for VBS. It's easy. Funny enough, where Josh is the preacher at in Banner Elk, it's probably been hanging there since 2009. But they've got it all on the wall, this wall art, and it's got the scriptures and it's got with it. And so it's, I'm not knocking that at all. That's what we need to. We need to train our kids, but the reality and the realness of the fight is what, to my point earlier, I believe was missed with, at least for me for a while, with a lot of my friends that fell away. But we look at the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is what? We're living within God's will, and by doing that, our hearts are guarded. And that's part one of the battle. Whose responsibility is it to stay within God's will and keeping his commandments? That's me. That's you. That's what, you know, I wish it was as simple as, you know, getting up and just saying, you know what, today I'm going to fight. One time, one decision. Just, no. That's a moment to moment. That's when it pops up at work. That's when it pops up scrolling across an ad or whatever else that you don't need to see. Are you right then and there? Am I right then and there going to choose? No, that's not where I'm going. This is where I am. I'm with God. And no, I will resist as long as I need to. To stay set apart of God's will and be constant in the reflection of him and be a reflection of him for people to see us. You know, you slide down, and then the next one is feet fitted with the righteousness of gospel of peace. We have to be willing and constantly sharing the gospel. And, you know, when I was younger, like this right here, I thought, man, I ain't never going to make it if I got to get up and do what my dad does and preach it out to. No, it's sure. I'm not saying that it's not paramount to have the conversations and to have it written on your heart and be willing to share and open to share and able to share. But man, how powerful is it for people to see it through us, to see us? Like, why is that guy, you know, you can ask my wife, I'm still a work in progress on being even keel. I will I get excited, I get mad, I get all this. Can I get to that even keel that, you know what, they look at Evan and say, all right, well, this happened to him. Is he, but why is he responding like that? Why is he not, why is his world not falling to shambles? Why is he, because I know, we know, this bigger than this, whatever, and I pray for the strength, because I don't know what lays ahead of me, what lays ahead of us as a family, but whatever comes, I know, and I can believe we've won. God can do something with this. God can do something with us, and it will do that. All we have to do is stay within him and submit to him. The ability, let's see. There's that nervousness kicking in. With that, you know, I was like, you have to be, it has to be a fight. We have to understand that. We have to understand that I'm battling for my souls, that I'm battling for everybody else's soul in here, that I've got to be ready and strong for you guys, that you've got to be strong for me. But the biggest way we make a difference, the Prince of Peace, we have to pursue peace. We have to pursue peace with one another. We have to pursue that peace within our own hearts, our own conscience. That's paramount. That is our goal, to bring that peace for people to understand, you know what, your life may be falling apart. Look at what's happened in mine, but I still have peace and you can still have that peace. Let me show you how. That's exactly what Paul lays out for us. The shield of faith. Let's talk about faith. Faith, you think of a shield. You know, we read the fiery darts. I don't think, Paul didn't, if it was possible to stutter in writing, Paul didn't do it. He was straightforward, right? They're coming. The fiery darts are coming. They're headed straight for you, straight for me. What's going to protect us? This shield of faith, right? Faith is our shield against unhealthy fear, against doubt, and the fiery darts. Those fiery darts can be in the form of temptation, can be in the form of hardships. It's inevitable. You're going to face it. You know, that's where it burns me up to see the Joel Osteens of the world and these guys that sell this cookie cutter. You sign up, your life will get better, it's going to be rich. Now, there's not a better quality, don't mistake me, there's not a better quality of life than living the Christian life. But it's hard. It's easy on one side because we know, because we can have full faith and we can have confidence, but the consistency falls right here on my shoulders. The consistency falls on you. It falls on us as the body of Christ. So Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That tells me hearing is an active, it's not you hear it and then that's it. How do I take the buffs? How do I buff out my shield? How do I smooth it out? How do I keep it ready and geared for war? By building my faith, by hearing what God's told me, by hearing the very words that give me the access to have the strongest shield, to have the shield that he's handed over to us. The helmet of salvation. I wish I had the words to describe it, but, you know, for those of you that we're at High Rock, you'll remember this a couple years ago, we had a theme that was no secret, and it was K-N-O-W, and then underneath it, N-O, right? No secret. We were in 1 John. It's not a secret, guys. It's plain as you want it to be, as God has made it for us. You have to read. You have to see it. You have to take the initiative to go to it. But having the knowledge of that salvation, that protects our conscience, right? Knowing that I'm one, that I'm on the winning side, that you're on the winning side, it protects our minds from the doubt, from the despair. That, like I said earlier, whatever I go through, whatever we go through, we know we've won. It's worth it. There's nothing comparable to what we're going through. And we can have joy and understand that, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials, knowing that it'll produce the steadfastness, the patience. We know we're going to be stronger because of it. The sword of the Spirit. The word of God is our weapon against all temptations and lies. The sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Wow. and that's given to us. I have a sword. I have the sword that can cut out those bad parts of my conscience. The parts that, you know what, I know I need to grow, that I need to better my heart. I can cut those aside. I can know that when somebody's standing in front of me, and man, on one hand, you love to see that there's a lot of people starting to get back to the mindset of God and being religious people. There are so many tricks and traps, though. I like to call it Instagram story faith. There's a lot of people that put it up, and they put these videos and these clips, and this, you know, you put your little bird and your little flower, and it's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which I believe. But it's, you got to live that out. It's this once saved, always saved. Read Ephesians 6, and I don't see how that factors in. You can't do that. This is a constant renewing, a constant. We have to get up every day, every moment, and decide to keep wearing these things. So engaging in the fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This war is ongoing. Just as assuredly as we can say that it's won, that the battle belongs to the Lord, that we've won, you have to have the understanding, and we have to explain to each other, to people that don't know, it doesn't stop. It's ongoing. The devil doesn't sleep. This is his domain. This is where he's going to work until Jesus comes back. We're here to work against him. And understanding that and knowing that, yeah, you know what? He's going to win a battle or two. He's going to, because we allow him to do it. But the war's won. The war, there's nothing he can do to that. There's nothing he can do to alter that. God has won. Jesus has won. And we can take all of the confidence in the world in that. So engaging in the fight, it's going to demand diligence. It's going to demand perseverance. You're going to get hit. Your knees are going to get broke. You're going to fall to them. Do we get up? Do we keep swinging? Do we show to the rest of the world that's outside of these walls, yeah, you know what? That hurt, but I have a bigger purpose. I have a purpose that you can have. We can all have. It's meant for us. It's for us. God has done, you know, this is bringing it to a close. Y'all probably excited because I'm the preacher's son, so the time filling is not in my arsenal of skill. But as we close it, I also confuse myself. We've got the answers. We've got the practices. With this fight, there's nothing more honorable. There's nothing better to do than to mirror Jesus, to mirror the man that did it perfectly. And, you know, I've got a brother that has been a brother in Christ for about 3 months now. And me and another brother from Stony Creek had went and we're having dinner with him. And we're sitting there. And this guy, to give you a little background, he converted out of, we grew up together, my best friend. And he had fallen away for about the last 5 years and was into cross-dressing, the whole LGBTQ, and a powerful testimony. I love him to death, or love him to life. And but we're sitting there, and I had never heard it put this way, but it made sense. I'm a simple mind, so it worked and it stuck. But he had wanted to go right back into that battleground of that community and start working and start bringing people back and giving them the news that he had found and the salvation that he had received, and explaining to him that, man, you've started the fight, you've signed up for the fight. But brother from Stony Creek looks at him and says, but you're running around naked in the battlefield. We have to strap up. We have to know. It's you can have all the zeal, and that's without the belt of truth, without all of these things, you're going to fall quickly. And that's where he had kind of started to see. A lot of his temptations started bumping back up because he turned right back into where he was coming from, and he wasn't strong enough yet to do that. 3 months in, he's better suited for it. His mom was actually baptized today, praise the Lord. His dad, he's working with in Florida. And it's he speaks to the testament of exactly what this is, exactly what God said through Paul. Go, that he's fighting the battle. You take it to the people that you know, people that you don't know. The lady at the gas station, she needs to see it on me at 6:30 in the morning rolling into work, not slouching and, you know, well, yeah, another day, another dollar, you know, blah, blah. No, you got to feel that. You have to see that. I have to get better at that constantly. As far as an invitation goes, I know this isn't your typical, but at the same time, you either know if you're in the fight or if you're not. And that's a decision that you make and know right then and there, right where you're at. And if that's something that you can fix right then and there and that you believe in, you know, I know what I need to do, then do it. Don't walk out of those doors. Don't go back home. Don't trust that you're going to make it home without making that decision. But if you've been in the fight and your belt of truth got cut off, or you lost the breastplate of righteousness, or you're not sure about your salvation, like I said earlier, 1 John, you can know, we can know. If you don't know, chances are you're not. And so let's fix that. I may be a guest speaker. I'll sit down and study with you. The men, the elders, just the men, period, here, the women, whoever, if you need help, you call on us. That's what this fight's for. I'm not only fighting for just my soul or just the souls of my wife and my daughter. I'm fighting for you guys. I may not know you. I know quite a few of you. I may not know you, but I know the fight you're fighting, and I know that iron sharpens iron, and if I'm supposed to be the iron that I am, and if I am that, I can give that to you. We can sharpen you. We can build you up. The Lord, I mean, it, praise God for the perfection in the design of the church. It's full of a bunch of imperfect people, right? Everybody, a lot, you've probably heard the hypocrisy and this, whatever that. No, no, no. It just shows that we're working towards a perfect goal, a goal that we cannot reach. We will not be perfect, but that's the beauty of it. Is you have to keep reaching. And if you stop reaching and you can draw strength from me, from anybody else that's in here, and we can lift you up, please let us know as we stand and sing together.
Have you all?
Rest on the burden you bear.
Please be seated. If we're unable to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, we will observe it at this time. To prepare our minds, we'll sing number 514. Number 514. To remember the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord. We'll sing the first and the third verse, Redeemed. Redeemed out.
If you are in need of a communion kit, we have them available. We have gentlemen out here that if you'll just raise your hand, they will bring a communion kit to you. If you're of need, just please raise your hand and someone will bring it to you. Ransom. A word we hear occasionally and it usually does not have a very positive connotation. According to Google, it's a holding of a prisoner or an item to get money or property to secure the release of said thing. Or it's also said that it's a sum of money paid by one party to another party to secure a captive's freedom. Also, to free from captivity or punishment by paying a price. The better definition that I found when I Googled this was to deliver from, indicating that something was paid or given, for sin or its penalty. What would you pay if you were in a ransom situation? If somebody called and said, we have someone in your family, and this is what we want in return for their safety or their return, what would you pay? And I'm sure that all of us would do anything we could, maybe even sacrificing our own lives for one of our family members. What about a perfect stranger? Someone we've never met, don't know anything about. We might have to think about that a minute. And just, I don't know. 1 Timothy 2, there's some verses I'd like to call to your attention. Paul is speaking about some things to be done. 1 Timothy 2, and we'll start in verse 4. And then watch what happens at the end of 6. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Also, if we kick on over to Matthew 20, verse 28, it's also recorded in Mark. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He paid what we couldn't pay for. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, hallowed be your name and your will be done. Thank you for this bread that we're about to eat that represents the body of your Son who paid our ransom. Gratefully, we eat this as we continue this sacrifice, this Lord's Supper. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you bow with me again? Holy Father, the blood that was shed for us from our Savior on the cross for our sin. We partake of this juice as we follow the example that Jesus gave, and we drink this in remembrance of him and the ultimate sacrifice. Father, help us to examine ourselves at this time, and we thank you for this ultimate sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, separately from the Lord's Supper, we give you the opportunity to contribute. Not too long ago, I heard a famous person say, every day, every one of us has the opportunity to make many, many decisions. We have opportunities every day, each and one of us, each and every one of us, to make decisions rightly. And I'm going to add, with God's help. Would you pray? Lord, as we begin this new week, please guide us, direct us through the wisdom of your word, and help us to make good decisions about our stewardship, whether it's financial stewardship or stewardship of any one of the other facets of our lives. Help us, Father, to be champion stewards of all that you give us power over, and with grateful hearts we pray, in Jesus' name again, amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again today, thanking you for the opportunity you had to gather here today to worship you. We pray everything we've done today has been in accordance with your will and that everyone has received a blessing. Lord, we thank you so much for Evan. Pray you be with him as he leads his family and help them always grow in your word, Lord. And thank you so much for his message, Lord. We pray that we all are striving to be consistent in our growth and that we keep our armor so that we can fight against the efforts of the devil, Lord. Father, we thank you for this congregation. Pray that you be with us, be with the deacons, the ministers, and especially with our elders, Lord. Help us always look to your word in everything that we do so we can honor you. And Father, be with us as we leave here this evening. Help us live in a way that we can honor the sacrifice that's been made for us, Lord. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have not been given any announcements, so we are dismissed.